What's up everyone, this is Dariusz Kalbaczyk, co-founder of MG Poland, JS Poland, AngularMaster.dev and WorkshopFest.dev. Welcome back to the Angular Master Podcast. Today we've got a special guest from Łódź, Poland, principal Angular consultant and trainer in Logula, NG Łódź organizer, ladies and gentlemen, Mateusz Wędzewicz. Hi Mateusz, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. And how about you?
Thank you so much. So for those who don't know you yet, please tell us about yourself and what you do.
I'm principal Angular consultant and co-founder at Logular. On a normal daily basis, I am working with clients, building front-end teams for them, delivering and consulting their Angular projects, but also I am building our internal products and tooling. Additionally, I am training people on different levels of seniority to scale it a little bit. I am creating courses for them and upskilling programs for our students. In case of community, I am also NG Łódź organizer, like you mentioned before.
How did your adventure in programming begin?
No one believes me, but everything started thanks to J.K. Rowling book called Harry Potter. Probably you know it. I know it's strange, but true. Probably 24 years ago, when I was 8, I started my reading journey, and 2 or 3 years later, I read the first 4 novels. There was no 5 at this moment. It was also correlated with my first internet connection. So as fresh Harry Potter fan, I googled some virtual school of magic and started playing. Unfortunately, after 1 week, the author of this portal shut down servers because he didn't want to pay for it. I was a little bit angry, but I used it well and asked, "How did you build this school?" He just sent me some partial information about JPortal, as I remember. It was some CMS based on famed PHP language. So I started to read documentation and I was setting up my first school of magic by trial and error phases. And I still remember when for the first time I needed to touch some code. It was HTML. And because I had no idea what I'm doing there, I've tried to remove single characters, check what will happen. And for example, I've removed B and suddenly the text was not bold. I said, wow, I felt like magician. But now I know that I was more like monkey who played with a banana for the first time. But it was a really cool experience. Unfortunately or fortunately, there was no YouTube tutorial about it during this time. So yep, everything because of J.K. Rowling. Thank you a lot.
Why did you choose Angular?
Like many things in my life, it was not super intentional. I started my programmer journey with PHP, like I said, and a little bit of JavaScript. Later, I had small episodes with Pascal, Delphi, C, C++ language. But then I realized that the web development is closer to my heart, so I came back to JS again. After a few years in CoffeeScript and pure JS, I was moved to some Angular projects. And I fell in love with Angular, to be honest. The structure, modules, components, pipes, that a lot of stuff was written for me and I didn't need to take care of it. It was amazing. I was working with Most.js before, so observables were absolutely great for me. Fun fact, I was grateful for things that nowadays many developers hate. And that's why I decided to create to module or not to module to get back to the important part of Angular framework called modularity.
Now let's talk about your lecture during the last edition of MG Poland. Where did you get the idea?
I was thinking about this presentation for many days. The idea started during one of my calls with Greg Radjo, and he told me, trust me, make a presentation about modularity. This is an important topic, and I had some, you know, background task in my mind for a few weeks. And one day, before going to sleep, I turned the light. I was going to go to sleep, but suddenly my mind knocked to doors of my awareness. Knock, knock, who's there? Your mind, Mateusz, please not now, I want to go to sleep. But psst, I have a nice idea for the presentation. And I don't know if you have the same, but my brain likes to activate when I'm trying to go to sleep. But my mind suggested me that if I want to talk about modularity, my presentation should be also modular. Then I saw the whole structure of the presentation, blue and red pill, matrix theme, maybe even interactive options, relations between modules, graphs, inception, and many more. You know, beautiful mind moment. And of course, I needed to write it down to not forget it in the morning. I woke up, my wife asked what I'm going to do now, why I'm waking up, and I asked her, please don't talk to me, I need to just write it down. And fortunately, basic ideas of too module or not too module were written down. Later, Midjourney AI helped me with graphics and supported my creativity.
So, too module or not too module, what is your final answer for that?
Of course, too module, but how too module is up to you. Modules versus standalones, deferred views versus lazy loading. I don't want to tell you that new features of Angular are worst, but I want to show that it's just a tool. We developers need to deliver value to our clients. This is our main goal. We cannot forget about it. Clients don't care if it's standalone or not, but they expect professionalism from us, and it's like a doctor needs to save our lives. We expect from them to make it fast and right. They can't say, okay, we will refactor it later. So if developer want to be a professionalist, we need to balance all the time between under-engineering and over-engineering to deliver a solution which is easy to write, but also easy to scale and extendable when it's needed. Fortunately, modularity is a great friend here. From my perspective, the most issues with slow delivery and regressions is lack of modularity. One big ball of mud and code spaghetti. Thanks to modularity, we can forget about, my dear client, you would deliver it fast, but we need to make a 2-month refactor. Clients don't like word refactor at all.
You mentioned here and in your presentation about modules and standalone components. What would you suggest for our Angular family?
Yeah, good question. I am a fan, like you probably see, of old-fashioned modules. I loved Angular mainly because of them. But I will answer like typical consultant. It depends. For some problems, standalone components are perfect. For other, modules are better. Personally, I am using standalone components for simple features, shared pipes and directives. Simple components. And modules for heavier architectures, injection tokens, states, and many more. I see only one red flag of ng modules nowadays, because probably someday Angular team will get rid of ng modules. People rather hate it and think it's difficult. However, the power of it will be still somewhere in the framework, I hope at least. But coming back to main thought I wanted to put in my presentation, standalone versus ng modules, to be honest, it's not so important as we think it is. It's like a hexagonal architecture. There is core and adapters around it. The way something is implemented is an adapter. The problem, rules, and principles behind it creates core. So it's not important if you use standalone or ng module, but if your application is modular. This is important. Modularity is the core concept here. The same is for reactivity. Signals, Eric.js are just an implementation of it. So to sum up, it's not really important if you are using modules or standalone components. The main goal is to make your application modular. Things that change together should stay together. And we cannot forget about coupling and cohesion. This is the most important part about modularity. And I strongly believe that when we developers focus more on core problems and principles, it will be easier for us to understand and choose the right direction of application and even help the Angular team to determine the right direction of the whole Angular framework. But it's hard to learn. There is no modularity or reactivity tutorial on the internet. It's big, core, and complex problem.
That's right. So if it's hard to learn, how can fresh Angular developers learn it?
Really good question. Like I mentioned, it's not so easy to write an article about it, record a short YouTube video about modularity. It's a big topic. You can get knowledge about it from conferences like NG Poland, for example, meetups, but it's not super available knowledge. We can find many implementations of modularity on the internet, but not the core, not the root of the problem. So we developers can learn it from seniors in our workspaces. But what if you are already the best guy there? I've heard a lot of times from developers that they like their job, salary is good, but they feel that they stuck in one place and they feel alone without any guidance from more talented people. They would like to progress, but without a better guy in the team, it's hard. So if you are the best person in the room, you are in the wrong room and it's time to change. Everything is because they don't have mentors. And I think mentors are a very important part of our progress. You don't need to change your room if you have contact with someone better from another room. It can be a virtual room. Then you can just transfer knowledge from another room to your room and become not only the smartest guy in the room, but also a leader and mentor for others in the room. Like in one famous Polish movie, money is not everything, but everything without money is, let's say, nothing. The same is with mentors. Mentor is not everything, but everything without mentor is nothing.
So, have you had any memorable mentors in your life?
Yes, yes, I had and still even have few amazing mentors. My grandfather, for example, was my first engineering mentor. He was a mechanical engineer and he invited me to the world of engineering, sinus, cosinus, electricity, physics, chemistry, even English. And he set up my first computer. For sure, I would never be here without him. But in my work, I can mention two great mentors I had. First is Adam Hrabkowski, very talented programmer, effective leader and amazing person, also my friend. He introduced me to solid principles, clean code, layers and tests. It was an enormous trampoline of skills for me. Second is Greg Radjo, my former boss, now partner in crime in Logular, and friend. He believed in me and put my architecture knowledge on totally another level. Also, he encouraged me to give my first online presentations, and I think that I can say without doubt that without him, I wouldn't be here talking with Darek Kalbarczyk after my presentation on NG Poland. For sure, it will not happen. So I'm really grateful that I had a chance to meet all my mentors during my programmer's life. All of them for sure opened my mind, and thanks to their constant feedback, I was becoming better and better. Two important words are used here, constant and feedback. Without these two words, it's really hard to become a better programmer, in my opinion. That's why I strongly believe in upskilling instead of simple videos, courses.
You're listening, Angular Master Podcast. Listen, code, repeat. Everything you need to know to become an Angular super developer.
You said upskilling is better than simple courses. Can you tell more about it?
Yes. Nowadays, not like in my childhood, we have an enormous number of video tutorials, material on the internet. We can say that we have too much material and it's hard to distinguish what I should learn. Like I showed in my presentation, we can read 100 books and there are next 100 books about some topic. It's like a rabbit hole or even black hole. You can spend your whole life on learning new stuff and still be in the same place. That's why, again, a mentor can give you a hand and help you choose the best material to become better. The next thing about video tutorials and courses is that according to my knowledge about brain, it's not like Ted that we watch some video once, for example, about modularity, and our brain will say, oh my God, it's so interesting. Now I will remember about it every time I start coding. Unfortunately, it's not working like this because you need to practice. And once, not once, but 100 times, I've heard somewhere that you need to make something about 400 times to create a new neural network connection, or once, but with a huge package of emotions around it. It makes sense to me, but I am not a neurospecialist. But basically, I like to compare learning programming to different areas. For example, I've tried learning piano. What do you think? Can you learn to play piano by watching videos about it? For sure not. Or jiu-jitsu is a perfect example. I've started training Brazilian jiu-jitsu a few months ago, an amazing sport, by the way. I would call it a human chess. And again, you can watch many cool tricks on Instagram, but if you don't connect your mind with your body, nothing will happen. White belt will destroy you. And last but not least, is that practicing is great, but still not enough. It's like with an AI. We can put a lot of wrong signals to our brain, and we can make it 100 times. Thanks to that, we can introduce bad habits, which can be hard to eliminate in the future. That's why I strongly believe in upskilling. So if you want to become a really good programmer, you need to watch videos, practice alone, and practice with your mentor, or at least get a feedback about work you've done. I think this is the holy grail of learning.
So what about the starting point? You mentioned that many programmers struggle with choosing what they should learn.
Great question. First of all, we need to distinguish where the developer is now. Of course, it's easier when we are talking about people who want to become Angular developers. They are just starting from zero. And it's easy for us, mentors, to deliver them content. But for them, it's almost impossible to choose good content consciously. It's a random choice. It's a little bit harder to determine the current level of some junior, mid, or senior developer, because some of them can be master of performance, other of architecture. Everything depends on their backgrounds. That's why we like to set up a skill grid or even skill graph. Our students can follow a graph of skills to become better and better. And this is whole picture of upskilling. Videos, practicing, feedback, and moving your character on the map of skills. It's like a game.
Did you try upskilling in your courses?
Yes, many times. We had 4 generations of upskilling programs. Some of them were from zero, some not. I need to say it was a very hard 4 generation of upskilling programs, and I am very proud of people there. The best people are working now in Logular. Others changed their lives and became developers. It's awesome to see happiness on people's faces when they are changing their lives and becoming developers or being promoted, or sometimes become the smartest person in the room. Great feeling. Of course, it's mainly their credit because they are putting enormous effort to achieve it, but it's great to be part of this success. And dear listeners, there is a great news. Together with Greg Raggio, we are opening a new slot for the next edition. This time it's a real upskilling platform where you can start from different levels. We have only 100 places. You can sign in to our mailing list and get the chance to be part of a brand new upskilling platform full of feedback, challenges, and many more. The link should be in the description. If not, visit our page, logular.io. There will be an upskilling link.
What's about your work-life balance? Do you have some hints for us?
I am not sure if I'm the best person to talk about it, but to be honest, I spent some time on it, analyzing it, trying to make it best. I've made a lot of mistakes in this matter, and for sure I've lost a lot of time working instead of spending my time with important people. With some of them, I can't spend time now. They just passed away and I cannot go back in time, unfortunately. However, this feeling is always with you when you lose someone, and we cannot always blame ourselves for everything. What is more, you cannot be a master in anything without spending time on it. If you love something and you are good at it, still time is needed. I don't think that Einstein thought, maybe I will rest a little bit. The general relativity theory can wait. Everything is going around your life priorities, golden medium, and what you would like to give to the world during your lifetime. It's very personal, and every person should take his decision. My point of view is following. Do what you feel, but in the end of the day, stop and think for a while. Maybe it's worth spending some time with my important people. Maybe I need a rest. or maybe I need to work because it will bring me many benefits in the future. It's up to you, not anyone else. Personally, I like to go to the gym, take care of my body, do some jujitsu, play piano, spend time with important people, and rest during the weekend if I can. But then I am escaping problem world, and later I can back with fresh mind. I think changing perspective is a great rest for our brain. Thanks to that, I have power to perform amazing things during the week. But this is only my perspective. Everyone should have theirs. Additionally, when I am in the circle of work, I like to remind myself that every personal success is better when you can share it with important people. And remember about it during your overtime and work.
So the last question, a movie you would recommend to our listeners?
According to the last question, sometimes it's worth to rest, so I will put maybe some more normal movies. However, still, I like movies with unexpected ending and movies which open my mind, give me a new perspective. For sure, I would suggest Shutter Island with Leonardo DiCaprio, Fight Club, Matrix, The Prestige. This is my favorite movies, I think.
Mateusz, thank you so much for participating in the podcast. It's a real pleasure to listen to you share your knowledge. I hope you will be my guest many more times. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.